during the month of Sivan, we're up to 3 days before Shavuot. Every month has a special class. The special class that is in the month of Sivan is the class of Hiluch, the class of walking, of going. But we're not talking about the special class of walking with our feet, but rather the walking that we're talking about is walking with our nefesh. The walking that we have with our feet, we all recognize, we all know what that is. But what is this walking that we have within our soul? This power of walking that we have in our soul is something which really is a very important and power, and a general power that involves our whole being of our soul. Let's give a few examples of this. When a baby is born, the first years of his life, he grows and grows, and his physical body keeps on growing and getting larger and bigger. But it comes to a certain point, a certain stage and age, where he stops growing. Not only does it stop growing, but it comes to a point where, as we get older, our body starts to shrivel in some way, and we start doing the opposite of growing. Another example, a woman who gets married, and she is fertile. She's able to have children. But this lasts only for a certain amount of years, and then it comes a certain point where she stops being fertile, and she's unable to have children anymore. Those two examples you gave are examples that we find in our physical body. Our body keeps on growing and growing, but it comes to a point where it stops. Now let's talk about what this growing process, how it applies to our nefesh. We find the same thing in our nefesh. Many people have studied for many years, and they became doctors, lawyers, and then they studied some more, and they became professors, and they grew and they grew. But it comes to a certain point where they reach the peak, and they can't grow anymore. All those examples we talked before are the examples of when we have this stage in our life where we grow and grow and keep on advancing up to a certain point and then stop. At that point, the process of hiluch, of growing, turns, the letters turn around into color, which means to be completed and to be finished. And at that point, the process of growing stops, and then we start the process of the opposite of growing. There's another process of hiluch, of growing and walking, so to speak, and growing. This process that we're going to talk about now does not end forever. It keeps going from the day we're born until the day we die. The Rebbe said that Talmidei Chachamim, people who learn a lot of Torah, they are constantly moving up and up and up, and constantly advancing to the next level. This advancement never ends. It comes out that there's two types of hiluch, two types of walking and advancing. One that is temporary, that only lasts a few years and then it stops. Another one that keeps going forever until we die. In this month of Sivan, the class that is revealed is the second class, the class of advancement, of going and grow and walking and growing, the type that doesn't end and it keeps going for on and on. Now let's see how these two kinds of growing and advancement apply to us. Every Jew has a desire to keep growing in our Beis Hashem, and not to stay in the same place that we are, but rather to advance to the next level. Most people have this desire for advancement only for a certain time, but then after a while, this advancement that they want to stops. Even if these people, after a while, decide they want to keep growing again and want to continue and start over again, that's like a new beginning. It's not the continuation of the previous advancement. The true advancement, the true hiluch that we're looking for is to find a place within ourselves that we're constantly, constantly growing and growing and growing. Not something that we do and comes and goes and starts and stops, but rather we have to find a place within ourselves that we want to continue growing and not stop. We find the term B'nai Aliyah, those children, those people who are constantly growing. Those are the people who are always in the mode of advancing and advancing and advancing. Those are the two people who don't stop and start and stop and start and stop, but rather are continuously growing and growing. Now the question is, how is it possible for a person to constantly be going up and up and up and advancing? Aren't we all human beings that we need some time to rest, we need some vacation? Here lies the very, very fundamental principle. We all go through different stages in life. We have some times in life that are easier times, harder times in life, more difficult times in life. The difference is, how do we look at it when it comes to the hard times? Do we look at it when it comes to hard times, okay, now I have to stop doing all that avodah I was doing until now, and then after the hard time is over, we have to start a new beginning? Or we look at it as, no, I'm not stopping, I'm just taking a short break so I can rest up and make it through this hard time, but as soon as the hard time is over, I'm continuing to stay on. The difference is very clearly. A person who essentially wants to grow, when it comes to hard times, he doesn't say, okay, that's it, I have to stop. stop what I was doing till now, and I can't continue, and I have to put it aside. So, rather what we do is, we say to ourselves, shoot, and right now I have to take a break. But this is just a temporary break so I can continue from where I was up to beforehand. And not that I'm stopping what I'm doing, I'm just taking a short break so I can rest up and continue as soon as I'm able to. It's impossible for a person to say, I never stop. I'll never miss a day of avodah. No matter what happens to my life, I'll always continue doing it. That's impossible, because there are hard times in life where we do have to stop. The difference is, what do we think when we're stopping, when we're taking that break? Are we thinking, okay, that's it, it's not for me, I have to stop, to quit this whole thing? Or are we thinking, no, I'm really stopping because I have to take a break, but in reality, as soon as I'm able to, I'll continue. So even though we stop physically, but in our minds and in our desires, we never stop. We're constantly thinking about continuing our avodah. Let's give an example so we can understand this more clearly. A woman is cooking dinner for her family, and then in the middle she has to leave and take care of her errands for 15 minutes. Now she has two options of what she could do about the dinner. One option is to shut the fire completely and go out and take care of errands. Another option is not to shut the fire completely, but just to lower it and on a very low flame, and that way when she comes back, she'll hire the flame again. What's the difference if you shut the fire totally, or if you keep it on a low flame? If you shut the fire totally, the food can get cold, and after 15 minutes, if she comes back, she may have to start all over again heating up the food and cooking it. Versus if she lowers the flame, although it's not cooking properly, but it's still warm, and then when she comes back, it's much easier to just ignite the flame and get it cooking. The same applies to when we go through hard times in life. When we go through hard times in life, we have to make sure that we keep the flame within us, that desire within us, on low flames. It's true that we can't do what we did in the past during the hard times, but we can't shut the fire totally. We have to keep the flame on low, so to speak, and keep the desire in there, not totally extinguished. And that way, when the hard times go away, we'll be able to go right back to it and be full force into our avodah. So far we described one way of how a person can constantly be in the mode of growing, of walking, and of keeping on the avodah that we were doing. And that is that even when it comes to hard times, we keep our mind on what we're doing, and we still have this desire, and we try in our mind to get back to it as soon as we can. We don't completely leave it, but we have a mind to get back to it. Now let's talk about another thing that we can do to constantly be on the process and the mode of Hola Chalisa, of constantly growing. The sefer written by the sefer called Sefer Yosha, written by Rabbeinu Tam, that describes that every person in his life goes through days of love and days of hatred. Other terms you find in other Sfarim that they refer to those days of greatness and days of smallness. During the days of greatness, when we go through our good days, so to speak, our great days and our love days, then it's very easy to advance. Then we feel like, oh yeah, I can have good thoughts, I can have good emotions, I can have good feelings, and I know what I'm doing, and I'm doing well, and we feel very good about ourselves. But then comes the days of hatred, the days of when we're not in the great stage. And then at that point, all of a sudden we feel like, wait a minute, things are not going so well. I'm not able to think as well, I'm not able to feel as well. People who, when it comes to hard days, the days of hatred, they just stop what they're doing totally, says the time, those people cannot advance. Rather, they have to do what we spoke before, as the mussel we gave with the fire, with the cooking of food on the fire, when we have to leave. Not to shut the flame totally, but rather keep the flame alive. If during our days of hatred, during our days when we have hard times, we still continue to hold on to a small percentage of what we were doing beforehand, then there's a connection between our good days and next good days. Even though we had in between that, we had some hard days, but if we didn't leave go of the avodah totally, even if we left on to it in 10%, even if we held on to it 10%, that 10% will connect between the first avodah, what we had during our good days, and the next good days that are coming. However, if we stop doing everything totally and completely during the hard days, then there's no connection between the first good days and the next good days. And it's like starting all over again. Give an example. Let's say a person has a chavrusa to learn 10 minutes a day. During good days, yeah, it's easy to learn 10 minutes a day. Then comes the hard and busy days, and it's very hard to do that. At least we have to learn for 2 minutes a day. That way, if we continue and we don't leave go of those 2 minutes, that will make a continuation between the good days and the next good days, and we'll be able to have one long continuation. Another example. If a person has fun every day when they sit by themselves, quiet time, and they connect to Hashem, let's say they spend 10 minutes a day doing that. During the good days, it's easy to find 10 minutes and to do that. But then comes the hectic days, and it's very hard to find time to do that. If we continue at least at all costs to do 2 minutes a day and connect to Hashem those 2 minutes. Then there is continuation to our avoda, and we never stop. So we spoke about two ideas, two good ways how to continuously be growing and growing. The first one is that even when it comes hard times, and we feel like we can't grow now at this point, our minds and our desires should still be that we really want to get back to it. We're just temporarily right now taking a break. More than that, this break that we're taking temporarily is just a way so we can rest up and get back to ourselves so we can continue our avoda afterwards. That was the first thing we discussed. The second thing we discussed was that even during the time that we do take a break, we shouldn't take a break and close up completely, but rather always keep the flame on a low flame and always keep something continuously going. 1 minute or 2 minutes, but continuously keep on doing what we're doing and not stop completely. In reality, we have to use both of those things that we discussed simultaneously. And the reason for that is as follows. Everything that we do in life is made up of chitzonius, of external, and pneumius, of an internal. The first thing we discussed earlier is that our mind and our desires should constantly be to get back to it. That is the internal answer. That's the internal way how to continuously be connected to avoda and not to drop out. Because in our minds, deep inside, we constantly have this desire and this want to get back to it. The other idea we said before was that we should hold on to 1 or 2 minutes every day. That's an external way of making sure that we don't get disconnected from our avoda. So in essence, we need both. We need the external way of holding on to a minute or two a day, and we need the internal way of inside our minds and hearts constantly wanting to get back after the hard days are over to want to get back to our avoda. In truth, we have to have those. We must have both together. The person only holds on to the second idea we said before of not losing go of 1 or 2 minutes a day, and they don't do the first thing of thinking our hearts and our desires should constantly be to get back to that avoda when the hard days are over. So in essence, what I'm really doing is that externally we're holding on to something, but internally we're drying up. If we dry up internally and we don't have this desire to get back to that avoda, so there's like a struggle and a conflict going on between us. On one hand, we're holding on to something. On the other hand, inside we're drying up, and that's not going to work. So therefore, we have to do both together, simultaneously. At the same time that we're doing 1 or 2 minutes a day during our hard days, we also have to have this inner desire to constantly get back to things when our days get better and lighter. It works the other way as well. If a person only holds on to the first idea we spoke before, which is that we should constantly keep the desire and the want to go back to our avoda on good days, if we don't hold on to the second idea of doing something, actually continuing doing something for 1 or 2 minutes every day, then it won't hold up either. Because even though we have a strong desire for something, if we don't put it in actual practice, it won't hold on, and our desire will also diminish. So we have to have, on one hand, the desire to be able to go back to the good days. Even during the hard days, we have to constantly look forward and in our hearts have this desire to go back to complete our avoda during the good days. And at the same time, during the hard days, we have to also hold on to something in practical actions and do something, even if it's only a small percentage, a small fraction of what we're doing. We have to continue doing something at the same time. The third thing we have to know is our attitude and our outlook towards those days, towards the hard days. Many people look at hard days as, oh no, here I go again, I'm going downwards. This is my days where I'm not doing well. Instead of going up, I'm going down. But the truth is, it's not that way. Our attitude has to change. We have to understand, just like our body needs a certain amount of hours of sleep every day, we don't look at sleep as, oh, okay, sleep is that time of the day that we like waste and the downtime. But rather we understand that in order for a human being to function during the day, we have to sleep at night. So too, our nefesh is built the same way. And in order for a nefesh to be able to grow, there has to go through times where the nefesh sleeps, so to speak. And those times are the days that we have difficulties doing things, and those are the days of hatred and the days that we don't feel so productive. But our attitude has to be, it's not a down day, it's not a destructive day, it's not a bad day, it's just a day that we have to go through. Why is it that when we go to sleep at night, we don't feel that we're doing something not productive? Rather, we feel this is part of productive life. We sleep and we're up. We have waking hours and we have sleeping hours. The reason for that is, if you look at life as, yes, part of life is there are hours that we're awake and we produce, And part of ours is, part of life is that we have hours that we go to sleep. So our attitude towards sleep is that it's not something derogatory. It's not something that we don't want. This is part of a productive life. The truth is, the same way we have to look at our stages of life when we go through and how we grow. When we go through those hard days and the days that are difficult for us to learn, difficult for us to daven, we have to look at those days as, oh, no, not that here comes a hard day, here comes a bad day, but rather, this is our sleeping day. Just like in our body, in our physical body, we understand that we go through times that we need to sleep. Our nefesh also goes through times that it needs to sleep. And those sleeping times of the nefesh, obviously we're going to have a hard time doing what we have to do. But our attitude has to be, this is all part of one long, productive life. The Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination who wants us to think that when we go through those hard days, that, oh, so that means you're not doing well, it means that you're not really productive, but the truth is, it's not true at all. And we have to change our attitude towards those days and look at it as part of living a productive life. If we change our attitude towards the hard days, and instead of looking at it as days of being not productive, or days of being in a negative way, we change our attitude and we look at it as, no, this is part of life. This is part of living a good life. And that we have to go through those days. Those are the days that our nefesh needs to rest. That will help us so much in our whole attitude, and that will help us being able to continuously be growing and growing, and not fall and not to break from those days. It would be a good idea for everyone to write down these three points that we made. The first point was that even during the hard days, we also have to keep the flame inside, the desire inside burning. And we have to always yearn for the days that we'll be able to get back to it fully. The second thing is that even during the hard days, we have to always remember that we have to hold on to a small percentage of what we were doing, be it as minimal as it could be, but nevertheless, something has to still be held on to. We can't leave go totally. And the third thing, our attitude. Our attitude towards those days has to change. Instead of being a negative attitude, it has to be a positive attitude that this is part of a healthy life. If we have this written down on the paper, and we look at this paper every once in a while, especially during the times that we have hard times, that will change us, and we'll be able to keep continuously grow, even during difficult times. This month's karach of continuously growing is not just a karach that applies for this month, but rather it's a karach that reveals itself in this month, the month of Kabbalah Sotara, but we have to take this power throughout the whole year. And remember that a Jew never gives up and never stops growing. No matter what situation we're in, we're always on the mode of continuously growing. And with that power, we'll be able to continue our whole life. Help everybody have a wonderful Yom Tov.
Okay, so even when we're in our days of hate, the thing that is desire, and that underlying thing, could you be more descriptive about it, that it is the tunnel? To me it seems like there's an arousal of love for Hashem in our heart, or there's a yearning to sort of be with Him or emulate Him. So can you articulate a little bit more about what it is that we should be keeping alive, that passion in our heart, underneath, even when we are in a difficult time?
Okay. The answer is that we have to keep the desire of hope. That is the answer. We shouldn't be giving up. Many people give up during the hard times. But when we say to keep the flame alive, what we really mean is the flame of hope. Inside our heart, we have to feel, yes, I have complete hope, and I know that I'm going to go back to it when the hard days are over.
So Rav mentioned that you have to keep both avodas going simultaneously. So like, let's say I'm someone who has, like, I don't know, let's say 15-minute heat avodas every day, and I go through like a set routine of what I do. But then let's say a person, you know, really gets sick, like sick to the point where they can't even do their hibodidus at all, you know, in a physical way. I would think that just keeping the rest zone going, like you're lying in bed and you're sick or your head is pounding or I don't know what, but I'm just thinking of different scenarios, you know, that just keeping the rest zone going, if I really want to get healthy so that I can get back to it, I would think would be enough. It seems like the Rav is saying that wouldn't be enough, but what if somebody physically just can't do whatever their avoda is?
This is another thing that it's not possible that you can't even do one spark of something for 1 second. There has to be somewhat you can, if we're able to do something as small as it can be, there has to be something that we can do at all times.
Well, I hear that on the thought level. I hear that, you know, I can always think in my heart that I have a certain rot zone, but I imagine there are times where physically you just can't.
Uh-huh.
In which case, I would just think in my mind, I really want this, but I physically can't do anything about it.
If you really want, if you really think hard, you'll see that you're able to do something for just a very short while. You gotta say, let's say a person's child has to go to the hospital. Would a person say, well, at this point I can't do it, or no matter what, of course, we would do what we have to do?
Okay, I mean, I guess I'm talking about somebody really, like, sick and debilitated and can't move.
but there always has to be some
accompanying physical act, but that's the must.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless the person is close to death, a half a minute a day, the Rav is saying, is always possible.
Okay, I hear. Very good. Okay, do you have more questions? I'll let someone else go ahead.
Hello? Can I ask?
Yes.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, so my question is it possible that the Yetzer HaRa would get the desire also down, so that it would feel like it disappeared? And if so, why do we need that to be a prerequisite, one of those three answers, and why not just go ahead and do, you know, whatever it is that we need, like let's say the davening, even though we don't have the chakra in the process, and then we could feel, you know, we could get the closeness, which I actually experience such a thing. Is it possible that we could have no desire at all and then wake ourselves up anyway?
So is the question, I'm not sure if I understand the question. Is the question, is it possible for Sahara to take away our desire completely? Is that your question?
Right, because this was one of the three answers, you know, to always remember that we should have chukka.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And do we need it? The question is, do we actually need it? It could be, couldn't it be just the Yetzer HaRa telling us that we don't have it and taking it away from us?
Okay, so in my Yetzer HaRa, Gamma Sesha, chukka, there may be a sinner, Gam, yeah, Gam. The answer is yes, of course. The answer takes away our desire, and that's why we have to keep the desire alive, because if we don't keep it alive, the answer will take it away.
Well, but if we fight the answer around that, and it's stronger than us, so why fight him on this thing? Wouldn't that be too much of a, you know, like, how do you fight him on it?
The answer is Yetzirah is stronger than us, but we need to have the Shemaya, like everything in life. Everything in life we cannot do unless Hashem helps us to do it. So if Hashem sees that we desire to do it, then He will help us succeed, even though the Yetzirah is stronger than us.
Uh-huh. I think, can I chime in right now? I think what you're asking is, what if the rat zone is really frozen or stuck and we really can't get it going, then what? Is that what you're asking?
I missed some of it. For the beginning?
What? You're asking what to do if the rat zone is like stuck and frozen, how do you get it going again? Is that what you're asking?
Not quite, because I thought that it's to the... Right, how do you get it going? Right, let's say it's too much of an energy, you have to work too much, and let's say you're on some kind of a use, and you don't have the desire, right? So it would be...
How do you get it going again?
Yeah.
How do you get it going if it's stuck, or it's taken away, or...
if the Russian froze, then it's very hard during the hard days to start developing the new Russian. So then the only exit is to hold on at least to the part of our action, not to let go of that. Then when the days get better and we'll come out of the state, then our Russian will again ignite and start over. But during those days, if the Russian froze and dried up, it's very hard to get it going.
I see. But
then the actions themselves will start it up again.
Right.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Anna, go ahead.
Okay.
So that's the Rasan? As long as you keep your avoda going, even externally, that will reignite the Rasan.
Right, right, when the good days come back.
So my question is, I heard actually last week from the lab that I was listening and sure that exactly when you think that you're totally far and so out for you, if you just do the mindset, the action, so then you actually get a much higher idea than you know, oops, new idea than you were before. Is that true? I mean, how does that work?
Do you speak Hebrew? Do you want to say the question in Hebrew?
Okay, I could try. Okay.
No, do you speak Hebrew? It might just be
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. I just didn't think about it in Hebrew. Let me try it. Okay. Okay. I שמעתי בשבוע שעבר אם נמצאים במצב שממש רחוקים מאוד והעבודה מאוד קשה, מה שאנחנו מתכוונים לעשות, אז אם דווקא אז עושים, בלי להרגיש, אפילו בלי להרגיש שאנחנו משיגים משהו, בלי להרגיש התלהבות בכלל, אם אנחנו אז עושים את זה, למשל תפילה, אז אפשר להגיע לרמה רוחנית הרבה יותר גבוהה מאשר קודם. זאת אומרת, נגיד לגמרי, ירדנו מהרמה שלנו לגמרי, הייתה הפסקה, ואז אנחנו עושים משהו, ואז אפשר להגיע לרמה רוחנית יותר גבוהה, אם זה יתכן כזה דבר, איך זה עובד, איך זה מתקשר לזה, מה שדיברנו.
רק אם יש לבן אדם פנימיות, אם כל החיים שלו הוא עובד בדרך הזו, אז הוא לא יגיע כמעט לשום דבר. אם יש לו פנימיות ויש דבר מסוים שקשה לו, והוא עושה השוואה יותר לא, אבל אם כל המערב החיים הולכים בלי להרגיש אפילו שקשה, לא, זה צורת העבודה של הקדוש.
האם זה ייתכן שנשים זה יותר שייך דרך הזאת של מעשים? אפילו כשהם מרגישים לנו.
סליחה? אנשים, בדיוק הפוך, הם מרגישות יותר למוצות מתוך הרגש. אצל גברים, חלקם פחות מרגיש, והם צריכים לעשות אפילו כשהם לא מרגישים. אבל עוד פעם, הדרך הזו היא לא דרך לאורך טווח, היא נקודתית. מי שמדריך כך לאורך טווח, הוא הופך אנשים להיות מחשבים ורובוטים.
אז can you translate the question and answer, please?
Yes, the question was, she heard that if a person does actions, even at times when we feel dried up, we don't feel the rut sound, but we nevertheless do the action, that helps us a lot. That's a very good thing. So she asked the Rav what he says about that. And the Rav answered that this is only an emergency situation, so to speak. This is only when a person dried up and they feel that right now I don't have the rut sound, nevertheless continue doing it. But as a whole, that's not the way we should live our life. And as a whole picture, our life should be lived as we want to have a Ratzon to do what we do. Not just we're doing our whole life because we do it, because we have to do it, we're not stopping to do, but our Ratzon is not there. In general, the picture should be that I have a Ratzon to do, and I'm doing at the same time also. But even in times when we don't have a Ratzon, we should not stop. And then the Rav is saying that this is particularly more applicable to men than women, because women generally do have a rut zone. Women work more with delay, so they generally, most of the time, have the rut zone to do good. Versus men, many times, their lay is not so open like women, and therefore, many times, we have to continue action without our lay.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rav just wanted to make sure that I explain
this is only a temporary way of doing things, not long term. Long term has to be done in the way as we described with the Rav.
Do we have any control whatsoever over these days of godless and days of cottonness and when they come, and or is it just completely Hashem decides?
Yes,
the
Ben Adam is who Quach lechaver to Stina the Me'ayid the Me'ava, Matayshem Ba'im, Matayshem Lokim, so the Bechal of Yad Adam.
כל שהוא עולה אותו ומצמצם ומקטיא אותם בכמות הלידים, לא בידו, האם הוא להיות שם או לא, ובידו נקטים ולהקטיא. לאחר שלא יתרצה לתבקום, הוא מצלט לגמרי ומאקטים לגמרי נקטים. עוד היחידים תוכלו לדבר.
We don't have control over when they come, when they go, but the more a person keeps on going up and growing, the smaller those days will be. They will last shorter, and they will be less intense. But as far as do we have control of when they come and they go, the answer is no. There's only very few people in every generation who come to a level where they don't have those kind of days. But as a whole, people, all people have this kind of situation where we have good days and bad days, and we don't have control over when they come and go. But the more we grow, the less amount in length and the less intense those days will be.
Okay, what if a person gets the sense that they're not doing the right avoda, or they're not doing the right part of their avoda, like maybe they should be doing something else, and then they get confused about whether, you know, not just how to stick to their avoda, but if their avoda is the right one, and if they're on the right path.
Okay, good question. You should not worry in the when Adam מגיע לימים האלה, הם בכלל חושבים, אולי הם מתבלבלים שהם לא עושים עבודה נכונה, אולי הם לא בדרך, אולי הם לא עושים מה שעושים נכון.
עכשיו צריך לחזור עד שהם יעברו ולהגיע עם בני הקטן, זה עוד דבר, כשהם מבררים בני הקטן, זה נותן משפחת, לא מנקודה אמיתית.
Okay, so the time to really introspect and to think, am I on the right, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing, am I taking the right path, is certainly not doing this during those days of, during those hard days. During the hard days when a person feels down, it's very hard to really make a good, clear evaluation whether or not I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing or not. We have to wait for those days to pass, and then when we come back to those good days, then we can sit and evaluate. Wait a minute, let me see what I'm doing. Does it make sense for me? Does it make sense for me? Am I doing the right thing or not? But has no way it should be done during the days, during the down days. It has to be done during the up days. Any change that we make in our avoda should not be done during the down days, because if it's done during the down days, it's very possible it's coming because we're broken and we're not doing the right thing. Whenever we want to make a change in our avoda, it has to always be done during time when we're up and all into it.
Mm-hmm. And is there a definition of, like, a person could sometimes feel not sure if right now they're in a low day or in an up day, like they're not sure where they're standing, and they could get confused. Maybe it's just the part of the avoda to overcome what they're going through, or maybe this is a day that it's not a good day to evaluate. Like, is there a clear distinction between days that you have to push yourself a little harder to do the avoda, or days that you're weak?
The answer is, it's hard to identify those days on the spirit of the moment. It sometimes takes like a few days. When a person sees that I'm trying to do this avoda for a few days and it's not going well, then we have to suspect that this may be the ma'asin of our hard days. And it's something which is not just, you can't determine it, well, today it didn't go well, oh, I must be going through a ma'asin, I must be going through a hard day. It's not something which is determined per day. It's something which is determined per a few days, for, let's say, a week. If a person goes on a few days or a week and they see where something is not going right, then they have to suspect this is probably a ma'asin. But the ma'asin should not last more than a few weeks, the most, maximum. If it lasts a few weeks, that's a sign of depression. That's a sign of something is really, really wrong. Because the ma'asin does not last that long.
So what would a person do if they realize that they're like in a depression?
That's the way I'm going to get them a touch. We go. That's a little bit of a dance. And you have to get evaluated by a professional to know exactly what the source of the depression is.
So again, this union of the nessa sleeping. So if I understand correctly, it sounds like it's something that's like mukha in the Bria, that we have to anticipate that we're going to have these down days. But I'm just curious, you know, if there is something that we can do to, so to speak, you know, keep the good days going as much as possible. I guess the analogy would be, you know, I'm staying up later than I should when I really should be going to sleep, but I have a hard time seeing that these quote unquote bad days are lahatchila. And I know. Do you understand the question?
That's short. The question is, there any way we can prolong other days?
Prolong the good days, and I guess why, I guess I'm really asking a more deeper, why do these bad days, why does it have, I understand why my body needs sleep. I guess I don't understand why my nefesh needs sleep. Like, why can't I lahatchila try to keep my ratzon and my avoda going as much as possible? Why must I anticipate the mesila?
The way Hashem created the world is that everything in this world, every physical thing in this world needs sleep. Even water needs sleep. And therefore, Hashem created this way, the world in a way that our nefesh needs sleep. There's nothing in this world, in this existence, this creation that does not need sleep. Except for Hashem.
But our nefesh is not physical.
I'm saying
nefesh in terms of soul.
Correct?
Yeah. So why does our soul need to sleep?
Even spiritual things need sleep. It's a mistake to think only physical things need sleep. Even spiritual things need sleep. That's exactly the point.
Mm-hmm. So then I guess back to what you thought my question was, how can I, or should I strive to prolong the good days, or just flow with it?
Okay. There's nothing we can do immediate. It's more of a long-term process. The more we continue in our avodah, the more we elevate ourselves, the more we become higher and better, then automatically those good days will become prolonged by itself. It's not something that we can press the buttons and change it. It's a matter of a process, of the long-term general process. The more a person works and elevates themselves, the longer those days will last.
Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of consistency, basically.
Consistent aliyah, right? Consistent growth, yeah.
Consistent aliyah, okay.
Can I ask a question?
Any other questions? I know the Rob has to make an airplane.
Yeah, we have 2 minutes of that.
Can I ask a question?
Okay.
If, you know, when a person is picking their avoda, like, is there, like, an order of importance? Like, are there areas that they should start and then proceed to? Like, what's the order of, like,
the order of avoda? The answer is, if you're looking for what path works for you, you have to read a few different sfarim, and then whichever path talks to you the most, that's the path you should take. Combined with that path, a lot of people with Hashem, they should lead you and on the right path to make sure you do the right thing.
Right. My question is more like, do I start with my personal, with a relationship to Hashem, with a relationship to myself, with a relationship to people, with a relationship to my, you know, like,
okay.
Or...
You can begin from anyone, any angle. It depends on every person separately. There is no rule to the game. Every person has to start with what works, what talks to them the most.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask
you a lot of us, Barta? Not this Kurdish.